there has never been an instance where I've provided Canyon coffee to someone and they've said, "Nah, we didn't like that. Right. It was just very poor quality." But oftentimes it's Canyon coffee that is used in blends to lift the flavor profile, and whether it's blended with beans of other countries or lower grades, that Kenyan bean will always lift that flavor profile. So I only think that we add to the Australian landscape. We only it's only beneficial. So I never really had much doubt there.
This is Salam and Hello, where stories of joy and justice vibrate with the rhythm of Africa and the diaspora.
We're that group of people trying to move along the line. Maybe one day we'll get on to something. Until then, we say.
Salam and hello, everyone. My name is Lily Bakala Piper, and thank you for joining us today. It has been such a joy to be back in conversation with all of you in Kenya, across the region, across the world. We've missed our conversations, and it's just wonderful to be back. As you hopefully know, we are in a wonderful series in partnership with the Australian High Commission Kenya, celebrating 60 years of partnership with Kenya. And we have been talking about these incredible connections in science and entrepreneurship and tech. And today we are adding to our library of stories with an incredible guest who's going to tell us about the coffee connections between Kenya and Australia. So I am just delighted to introduce to you Kabi Kaguru, who is the founder of Mount Kenya Coffee. Kabi is an entrepreneur who is building a brand that is much more than just about the bean. It's about connection, it's about culture, it's about building communities and telling stories. Kabi grew up in Kenya, but then went on later to pursue her education in Australia. If I'm not wrong, she has two master's degrees from the University of Sydney. Right. We're very proud of her. She has a degree in public health, master's degree, as well as a master's degree in digital communication and media. So just a multifaceted and talented young person. Her unique blend of creativity, strategy, and social impact now fuels her brand, Mount Kenya Coffee. And their mission is to bring high quality, ethically sourced Kenyan coffee to new markets in Australia and beyond. Her passion is deeply personal. Her family's coffee story runs through generations, and she's all about making sure that we know where our coffee comes from and who's behind each bean. So when we were putting together this series about the connections between Australia and Kenya and celebrating these many decades of partnership, Kabi's story was just a natural fit into this larger connections that we're talking about. So today we'll talk about her journey navigating the Australian business market, the Kenyan business market, and how small businesses like her contribute to these global stories that we're here talking about. So it's going to be a very good conversation, just like my favorite cup of coffee. And if you know me, you know me. That is my lifeblood. So I am just so delighted to join, to welcome Kabi Kaguru to Salam and Hello today. Karibu, Kabi. So happy to have you here.
Thank you, Lily. It's great to be here.
So your story with coffee is personal and now global. So for those who are just tuning in, don't know maybe much about you or even this connection between Australia and Kenya, tell us what inspired you to launch Mount Kenya Coffee and what this journey means to you personally.
Yes. So I was really wanting to start something of my own. And naturally, coming from a family of entrepreneurs, I had this itch to do something for myself. And I wanted to tap into something that would give me a big feeling of fulfillment, but also something that really tapped into my identity, being so far from home, the land that bore me. And we do have a family farm in Kiamaina in Nyeri County, which is one of the top performing regions in coffee production in Kenya. And so truly, I wanted to leverage what we have and really look at the farm and see what we could preserve, because this has been a farm that we've had for generations, and it would really be a blessing if we can continue that for generations to come. So funny enough, I actually had started with macadamia, because that's one of the produce that we have plenty of. It's a farm that has numerous crop, but Australia is one of the countries that has a lot of macadamia. It's a top export of Australia. Okay. So I then had started to shift down and think what else I can do, and naturally went down the path of coffee, which really kind of blew up and expanded, and it was much bigger than just our farm. And it took me down a road of discovery and understanding of my own culture, my own history, mm-hmm. and my community. And it really just meant a lot more to me mm-hmm. in that space. And of course, our farm is also overlooking Mount Kenya. So it's just really something that would be yeah. iconic and bring a lot of meaning to me personally.
That's beautiful. You know, I often tell people that East Africa is both the cradle of humanity and the cradle of coffee. Yeah. You know, we gave the world two of the most important things, life and coffee. So when you think about, you know, this Kenyan history that you're bringing to this brand and your experience living in Australia, you know, tell us how those two shape each other and bring us to this juncture where you're now bringing a bit of Kenya into new markets.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it's something that is very personal to me and it matters a lot. It's Kenya is the country that bore me. It has shaped who I am. And Australia, of course, I moved there. I was educated there. It has given me a lot of opportunity. So blending the two was really something that gave me a lot of joy and a mm-hmm. lot of, you know, just having the connection, having the capacity to involve people in my family and my friends and my community and share that with my new community, with my new home. Yeah. That's really something that can't be taken for granted. And I wanted to do something that created that connection and that partnership yeah. and built relationships so that not only do I have the appreciation for where I came from, but I can share that part of myself with my new community as yeah. well.
Love that. So you have two master's degrees.
I do.
Number one, well done, girl.
Thank you.
But neither one of them are like farming, agriculture.
No, not, even not really at all.
Business. So just give me a brief synopsis of this leap. I get the roots, you know, for the family, the farms. This is a heritage that you've inherited and you're passing on. But tell me that leap from these fields of study to now a brand new one.
Yes. Well, I started out in public health and project management and different areas of business. But again, I would just say I was really looking for this connection back home. And some time ago, my grandmother actually had passed, and we had a family discussion around what are we going to do with this land? Mm-hmm. It's expensive to maintain. We have a lot of crop. It takes a lot of manpower. And for me, I just thought, what a shame it would be to mm-hmm. lose this work that we've maintained for generations. My grandfather was one of the first to plant coffee and really encouraged the community to grow coffee seedlings mm-hmm. and expand that throughout Nyeri. He started all the coffee factories and amazing. In Nyeri, so had quite a heavy hand in where we have come to today. And for me, I really felt that if we can preserve what we have, mm-hmm. that would be the best case scenario. And it led me through this thought process of what can I do? Can I go through macadamia? Can I go through coffee? Can I go, what other crop do we have? But just understanding where we've come from really led me to down this path of, this is something I want to do. This yeah. is something that I would be passionate about. It's something that's personally connected to me, to my parents, to my grandparents, mm-hmm. And something that you can leave to generations and involve your community. Yeah.
I love, you know, you started off by saying that, you know, this is the land that bore you, that brought you to this world, that shaped you. And it's really beautiful to see that even going externally for an education to build up your skills, it is still this country that's shaping you and shaping your future, which is just so beautiful for us to hold on to what we've received from this place. So what was the moment that you realized, you know, you make this shift, you realize, okay, there's an opportunity here to do something with this land, even though I've got these other external degrees that are not necessarily connected. When's the moment where, okay, Australia has macadamias, but they also get coffee quite a lot from other countries. There's a coffee culture that already exists. You know, it's popular there, right? So it's not like you're introducing a brand new product to that yeah. market. But what made you think that like Kenyan coffee could really have a valuable place, that there might be a meaningful opportunity there.
Yeah, look, I think it was something that it kind of just came organically, because there are so many countries, yes, that have a lot of coffee. They, you know, but the quality is where you'll find a lot of variation in what you can provide. And Kenya does not compromise on quality. Kenya just naturally sits with an advantageous elevation, and we have the perfect growing conditions. Mm-hmm. We have the perfect growing conditions for coffee production.
That's beautiful. That's so good to hear, because I think it's so easy to think of any business, any market, to be incredibly competitive. Coffee is saturated, but to hear that you've had some coalescence and just some support on the ground is really fantastic.
Absolutely.
I know the business is still in the early stages, yes, and the plan is to supply wholesalers. Is that right?
Yes.
That's your model. So bring the bean from Kenya to the wholesale market and let them. I didn't really prep you for this question, but I'm just so curious. How do you, not pitch, but how do you present a bean to wholesalers? Like, where do you find them? Where does that conversation start?
So, you know, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. Yeah. I'm not doing anything that's so crazy. I'm really just filling a need. So there is a need to get green beans. Coffee is very much seasonal. There will always be there will always be someone looking for it. And while I'm not providing coffee retail as a roasted product yet, my model really is to source and provide good high quality coffee to roasters. Mm. Roasters will often be changing their blends. They'll often be looking for single origins. And of course, with single origin, then you can really showcase like the country and the product that we have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll just walk in with samples and give them something that they really can't refuse.
Yeah, yeah. agreed. As a daily connoisseur, yeah, I agree. So, you know, just revisiting those Kenyan roots into this new Australian market, tell me how you're using branding and storytelling to really carry that Kenyan identity and history into your brand.
Well, I think I would actually say that it's the other way around, where I use the identity, because I'm very much using our connection in Kenya and our identity and our history to create the brand. Mm. And that is a big part of the brand. And the story almost tells itself.
Yeah.
Because like we've just had a big impact, I guess, in coffee growing, in its expansion within Kenya, its performance, how it's been able to support communities and education. And we've been able to use that to build and create a presence globally. So I think the brand, it's not just about the product. The brand is never going to be just about Kenyan coffee. The quality and the taste is just, it will always be there,
yeah,
and it will always be superior. But the brand goes beyond just the product. It's really looking at community, relationships, partnerships, making those connections, understanding who you're working with, supporting communities, supporting these small farmers, the cooperatives. We ourselves are a member of Kiama FCS cooperative, which my grandfather had also started. So being able to be a part of those communities and support them as well is very much a big part of our brand, and you know, something that we hope to achieve and to strive to support them both directly and indirectly.
Fantastic. You've brought us some beans today. So since you've mentioned the cooperative a few times and the process, and we're kind of getting into the, I don't want to say the nerdy part of the coffee story, but a little bit. I love coffee. So you've brought us some beans. Tell us what you've brought us and kind of that A to Z process that you're in right now, from kind of bean to cup, so to speak, or bean to wholesaler, bean to roaster. So tell us what we're looking at here in the first bowl.
Yes. So I will preface this in just saying that I think a lot of people focus on the latter half of the value chain, where it goes from roaster.
Yeah.
So everybody is familiar with what a roasted bean looks like. It's,
yes,
it goes through your cafe and you'll see people blend. You know, the taste and the smell of the smell. Roasted bean.
The smell is so good. I just want to like put one on in my the side of my cheek here and just soak two on it, but I think the mic would pick that up.
Yeah, of course.
It smells amazing.
But a part of the brand as well is really just focusing on connecting those parts of the value chain, making sure people understand the earlier parts, where it starts in origin, how it's produced, how coffee is farmed. So the samples that I brought in today really highlights what happens before the bean is roasted.
Okay, so let's start the story here.
Yes, so here is some coffee that I picked up from our farm, actually, in Kiamaina.
Oh, can I have some too?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, beautiful.
And so I've actually just collected these off the drying beds, and they do need a little bit more time in the sun.
Okay.
Just to reduce their moisture content. But once this leaves the farm, it goes to a miller where the husk is removed, and you can actually just...
Yeah.
Remove that by hand manually. Okay.
Now this I recognize a bit more, the inside piece. Yeah.
Yes. And inside then you'll have the green bean that's exposed. And that is what we will send overseas and provide to roasters in Australia.
Beautiful. Okay. So they get, when they're getting the bean, they're getting it sans husk. No husk.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that process happens here. In this cooperative, do you know how many farms are a part of that?
There's over 400
members. Wow. Incredible. That is really a community. That is. And since your grandfather started, we're talking generations ago then.
Yes.
So you're probably working now with farmers who themselves are second or third generation in the coffee business?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So this is specifically from the cooperative. So you're going to have beans here from different... No, this one's from your...
This is single estate. From our farm. And then the second sample there, that is from Kiama FCS. So
okay. Put these back here and hand these to you.
A cooperative. This is a mixed... This would be mixed.
Mixed beans.
Yes. But you can still see that some people think because it's mixed, it's not going to be as high quality because it's not... may not be as uniform or consistent. But you can see that this is still... Very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
High quality.
Absolutely. It's interesting with the coffee. Do you farm year round? Do you harvest year round? That's the word.
Harvest. Harvest. No. There's generally two harvests. Okay. We're actually moving into the next season now.
Okay.
Auction will open next week.
Okay.
So we'll generally have two harvest points or. Sorry, coffee is seasonal, so we'll generally harvest two times in the year.
Okay, so I'm wondering if that's part of what makes Kenya particularly unique, is that we have kind of a similar, I mean, we have our rainy seasons, short and long rains, but we do have this climate that allows for more than one harvest, perhaps, and, you know, I'm thinking about other places. That's not the case at all. Yeah. Okay, beautiful. So this one, the cooperative beans, the process of being a part of that cooperative and like getting your beans to the market, is it kind of a shared process? Is it everyone's bringing their beans together? I'm sure there must be multiple layers to how the cooperative actually even works. But
you know, all of the farms pick their coffee and then they will send them to the cooperative, to the factory. And then that's where the coffee is washed.
Okay.
It's depulped, it's washed, and then it's sent over to the miller who dehusks the bean and also sorts it by size and regrades it into the grades that we have.
Okay.
Like the AAs, the ABs,
right, which I think
the
you C's, brought us some PBs. As well here.
Yes. So and I did bring
let me put these back those. Here. Yes. Okay. So I'm gonna grab both bowls here.
So in the first bowl there's many different grades.
Can you see? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's many different grades, and I've only brought two here today.
Yeah.
We have the AA, which is screen size 18, and an AB. So these are highly sought after. They, it's generally what people want within their blends to lift them, and also what they showcase as single origin.
Okay. And the grading is done here in Kenya. Is that done in an external market somewhere?
The grading is done here in Kenya by the miller.
Okay, the miller does it. I see. Amazing. So all those 400 farms bringing their beans and they're sorting these down to your first of your class, your second place, basically. Is that how I'm understanding the AA, then AB, so on?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the there's a lot of nuances in sure, coffee. And sure. so there, it goes through multiple grading processes. Okay. It goes through a water grading process in which it's graded by density. So generally you'd think that the heavier beans are more nutrient rich. And okay. so they're denser and they sink to the bottom okay. of the machine. And then when they're being washed, so you go through your water grading, which is more based on density. Then you go through your grading by size. And that is what people okay. are more familiar with okay. in terms of your screen size. And that's where your AA, AB, uh-huh. PB, C, that's where that comes from.
You know, it's funny. I see these on packaging. I mean, again, yeah. I'm a coffee connoisseur. I will say often I'm drinking Ethiopian coffee. There's quite a few Kenyan brands that I really enjoy, but never appreciated kind of that the process of what those symbols mean on the packaging. So it's really helpful to kind of understand that,
yeah,
you know, there's a reason.
and in a house blend, generally, they won't really focus too much on the screen sizes or, you know, like as a retail customer, you sure. really will not be focusing too much on the grade or, you know, and the roaster themselves will not be looking at the water grading. They're not going to ask if it's P1, P2. And again, the grading process is different country by country. Okay. So,
oh, interesting.
I don't, yeah. And okay. I'm very much not going to speak for other countries sure, and what they sure. do. My brand is focused on Kenyan coffee only
yeah.
as its primary.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm just struck by the fact that, you know, after two masters again, you've basically had another education in this whole enterprise, which is
yeah, absolutely. And I'm still learning. Coffee yeah. is not something you can learn in a day.
Yeah.
So I fully expect to learn yeah. more and more. Maybe in 2 years, I'll be thinking, wow, I really I need to yeah. correct what I said yeah. to Lily.
We'll have you back happily. Ago. We'll have yeah. you back. Well, you know, it's beautiful because I think, you know, wine culture is so, it's so established in terms of like the sipping and the visiting the vineyards.
Yes.
And we're seeing those trends come up. I mean, obviously coffee cupping and the tasting has been around since forever.
Yes.
But just seeing it more in the commercial or the public consumption of that now, that they want to know more about the story. They want to know kind of where am I getting this from? And they want to experience coffee in all of its states.
Absolutely.
It seems like you're really hitting a really important moment where people are really curious about that. And we've talked about it so much now, I'd really like to try some. You brought us some coffee. So we're going to reset really quick and get some coffee on set and try this beautiful bean that you've brought for us. And yeah, give it a go. So we'll be right back. Before I try, cheers to Kenya, to coffee, to kahawa.
Let's see.
Let me take another sip just to be sure. And that's delicious. Oh, it's rich and warm. It has a very, you know how people say, oh, you have hints of this and that.
Yes.
But I taste like, it's almost like it has a cinnamon and an herby quality to me. I don't know if that's what a professional would say, but there is like, it's so bright, but also has this very warm, yeah, I'm just getting like the sense of herbs, like cinnamon. It's delicious.
Oh,
it's really delicious.
Thank you.
I start every day with a huge cup of coffee. So this will be added to my routine. Thank you for bringing me some.
Yes.
No, so delicious. So delicious. It must be very fulfilling to have in your hands something that you've seen kind of from the ground up. It must yes. feel very satisfying.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, you don't get that sense of fulfillment with working for someone else.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things that I do, there's so many challenges. There's so many things that kind of creep up when you're starting something. Yeah. But it's not something that frustrates you or disappoints you because it's just the challenge of it and brings about a lot of learning.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I welcome with open arms and I'm very grateful for. You know, anyway, I'm a student by trade, some you could say.
Like a professional student at this point, Gabby.
I am a professional student, but I do love, I've always loved school. I've always loved learning. So I think this is something that, you know, you can see the end product. You can see how it's used. You can see all the, like, different areas yeah. in which, like, you just have an involvement all along
Absolutely.
The way. And so you do feel much more connected with it and
yeah.
and it having this tie to your identity and your culture, it even just makes it way more
absolutely
you know, fulfilling.
I mean, if I was you, I'm going to move your mic closer. Okay. If I was you, everyone would be having coffee, everything. It'd be like coffee for breakfast, coffee salad, coffee with dinner. I mean, just the pride and the joy of bringing something from the earth, but then bringing it to these broader global markets is just outstanding. So well done. Yeah. I don't take for granted how challenging that is as a small business owner myself. So let's talk a little bit. What have those challenges been? And maybe you can help us capture it from kind of working with the Kenyan farmers and then bringing it to the Australian market. And as much as there are challenges, maybe at each point too, something that's really been rewarding and that has brought you, like, you know, it's been a success as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with every challenge, there's a lot of growth, and with growth comes success. So there have been a lot of challenges on both sides, which have been very different. And a lot of it has been in learning about coffee and understanding the landscape in each of these countries. In Kenya, I would say, you know, just understanding it's not just as simple as going to your own farm and picking the coffee and taking it with you, which truly is what I thought I could do. You know, we grow coffee, we produce it. I was like, but then just put it in a container and send it
to
me.
I got 23 kilos in each suitcase I can fill.
So I had to come home and realize, you know, there's a lot of different licenses involved. There's coffee is somewhat political. There's so many procedures that you have to go through. There's different parties involved. There's different things you have to do. So, you know, coming home to meet the right people, apply for licenses. And that in itself was very challenging. And some of these processes we're still going through. But what's rewarding is that you meet communities, you meet different farms, you meet different farm owners, you talk to the people that they're impacting, you talk to the women that are picking the coffee, learn about their stories, how it impacts them, and what role coffee plays in their lives. And a lot of them, this is their livelihood. This is how they support their family. So what can we do in turn then to support them and to give back as well?
That's really, when you bring it down to the people who pick the coffee, that's not an everyday thing. Like, I don't, you know, actually this is a local brand, so I do know who made my dress, but there's so many things about our life that we don't know. We have no idea where this came from or who did that or how did we end up here. So knowing the hands that have put that bean into the trays that have been dried and then milled and all that is quite a strong and compelling story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that we want to do a lot of and showcase as part of the brand. We have this education piece that we're trying to roll out, and so people understand a little bit more about the people and the culture that goes into coffee picking in Kenya and coffee production generally.
I mean, that is what makes it different and stand out, I think, on that global market. So, you know, when you think about direct trade, you know, you're starting to touch on it and just maintaining relationships with Kenyan farmers. You know, what are the lessons that you might pass on to other diaspora entrepreneurs?
Look, I think just tapping into your identity, not forgetting, you know, there's an importance in moving when you move to assimilate, but assimilation doesn't mean leaving behind who you are, what you are, and leaving people behind. So keep those ties, keep those connections, and talk, you know, talk to people, keep communicating, because these are the people that lift you up. And, you know, so very much so when I'm talking about supporting communities, those same communities are supporting me. And it goes both ways. And, you know, on the Australian side, it's also a place that has given me a home and also gives me those same connections and the same community in a very different way. The culture is completely different, so there are benefits on both sides. But for me, I think if there's anything you can say to Kenyans overseas, it's really just to start the conversation, and the rest will follow.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You've mentioned, you know, your two homes, Australia and Kenya, and you're going back and forth. We're lucky that you happen to be in Nairobi. I'm so glad that we could do this in person.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best.
It is the best. You know, there's no way to share a cup of coffee over Zoom.
Over
you know?
Zoom? No, it's
we
not
could do
the
it,
same.
But it's not the same. But, you know, I would love to hear about, you know, what do you think that Australians and Kenyans could learn from each other, whether it's about culture and connections, whether it's about business and entrepreneurship, but what's something that, you know, you would offer to that cultural exchange between the two countries, or the continent and the country, I should say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the two countries, there's so many ways that we can work together and learn from each other. We have different farming practices and different produce. So I think just in terms of recognition, mm-hmm. recognizing where your product is coming from. And more generally, there's a big shift in health. You can see people are starting to care what they're putting in their body, where it came from. And so it's important to then work hand in hand so that you have that visibility. And I have a very large advantage in being in both places and having a base in both places, because then I have the capacity to do that for you. I have the capacity to visit farms and know that I've met that farm owner in person, or have the capability of finding out, you know, do they use pesticides? Do they have proper farming practices? And that's something that Australians care about. They care about how their product is farmed, what practices they have in play, how that coffee moves. And so I think it always comes down to this communication piece and having an open line of communication and having that visibility and transparency. And that's something that we're able to provide because we have that link, because we have a direct link and we're in both places. There's nothing that's disjointed.
I like that idea that it's not so much that Kenya can teach Australia this or Australia can teach Kenya this, but there's this is where maybe the assimilation comes, is that between the two, there's this blend that emerges of appreciating the value of what you're given and appreciating what you're taking in. And so that both those places that you call home are contributing to this larger ethos for your company, which is a pretty powerful connection. You know, you're part of a family of business people. You mentioned it earlier, and I would not be transparent if I did not acknowledge that I deeply love your family. You've been a part of my lives for a very long time. So, you know, what's your family advice maybe as you started this business, and what have you actually used? Let me put it that way. I'm sure you've gotten lots of advice, but what's that piece of advice that's really been beneficial for you?
You know, I think in moving away, there's a lot that you don't appreciate when you stay in one place, but then it's the appreciation that comes from being away.
So
one thing that rings true, and it wasn't even told to me directly, it was my grandfather who had told my brother when he was leaving. He said, when you leave, you carry a banner for your family. You carry the banner for your country. And I've realized when you meet people overseas, you are their only point of, connection to that country. They associate you with where you come from. And so I think the lesson really is, you know, you're a representation, you're an extension. I'm an extension of Kenya. My product is an extension of Kenya. So I want to do well. I want to show quality, and it's not something that I take lightly. And so just be grateful. I think for who you are and where you come from, and let that be a part of you and accept it, you know, and share it with others. So that's something I think that I would say continue to encourage other people to do as well.
So I'm so touched by that. It just brings tears to my eyes, that idea of, you know, your grandfather so many generations ago saying you carry the banner of this country. You know, so much of our current moments and movements are we're fighting for that banner. And so just to hear that echo come from your family is just, it's so beautiful and so powerful. You know, Kavi, in 5 to 10 years, what would success look like for Mount Kenya Coffee and for you?
In 5 to 10 years, look, I think we're so early on in this journey. We've only just begun. So there's a lot of room for expansion. And, you know, I would say we would be much further along in terms of our value additions. Where I actually, one of the things that I want to be doing is in terms of sharing culture and things, is bringing people either direction. You know, I've told the roasters that I've met, please come to Kenya. Let me show you my country. Let me show you where your coffee is coming from. Yeah. I'm happy to organize. And, you know, that's another value addition. Yeah. So in the future, what I want is for this to be much bigger than just wholesale. It's not about wholesale green beans. It's about making these connections and linking the two places and making sure that we come closer together.
That's so powerful. Oh, may it be. May it be, yeah. Covey. That and much more. That's just so, thank you for that. As we're wrapping up, we always ask our guests two questions at the end of every interview, okay. And then we're going to play a little game. You have some energy? Now you've had kahawa.
Yes,
I can just keep you for a while. Okay, so first of all, what is a book, a bite, or a beat that you might recommend to our listeners today?
Oh, okay, only one of one.
Just one of the three. Yeah.
One of the three. I'm a little bit old school. And
listen, so, I am the old and old school, so go ahead.
And I'll just say something on the tune of family, life lessons, what has made me who I am. And my dad had a very, Sound of Music played a big role in our lives and our life lessons. So in the car, we were just told, sing this song. And we're kind of like the African Von Trapps, if you would say. And
so I would love that this is coming out into the public domain.
It is definitely coming out. And I'm sure Sound of Music has just played such a big role in my life. So the one song I would recommend is, we listen to Climb Every Mountain, yes. Ford Every Stream, Follow Every Rainbow Till You Find Your Dream. This is what we were told, and it's been hammered into our heads, and it's like, pave your own way, find what you and fight for what you want. And we've never really been limited in any way. We've been sent out. Our family is across the globe. We're all scattered, and you're all kind of searching for that meaning, for that fulfillment, for what makes you happy, what brings you joy. And we followed those paths. And
I love that.
Truly, you're just looking for that dream.
That's so cool. I mean, I really didn't know where you were going with the Sound of Music. I have to admit. I was like, okay, but I love that. Climb Every Mountain. Listen, and Climb Every Mount Kenya coffee dream.
Low.
I love it. You're there. Fantastic. Well, and Salam and Hello is a platform all about joy, celebrating the joy through struggle, through achievement, through arts, through sciences, whatever it may be. So I would love to know, what is bringing you joy today?
Today, I'm just very grateful for the opportunity to be here, to physically be in Kenya for the, I wasn't actually planning to travel at this time. And so I think all the stars aligned for me to be here, mm-hmm. for me to make more connections, for me to be here physically, mm-hmm. Here with you. And, of course, every time I come back home, it's just... home
is joy.
Home is best. That's what they say.
Yes, absolutely. Well, karibu sana again, karibu tena. It's good to have you home.
Thank
for
you.
Sure. So you have agreed to indulge me with a little game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do
okay.
I need
to put
down?
Your coffee down. I think for this one, I'm going to explain it, but let you kind of freestyle a little bit. So you are, a Kenyan child, adult, but this is home. So you grew up drinking this thing here, chai, isn't
chai.
It? I mean, I know you have the coffee farm and everything, but chai was queen.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Of course.
But now you are in the kahawa business. And so now kahawa is fighting for your heart.
Yes.
Even though I'm sure you also grew up drinking that. So what I'm going to do is we're going to play a little game called Kahawa Ama Chai for our non-Kiswahili speakers. Tea or coffee. I'm going to give you a list of situations.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask you, would you go with coffee? Or chai, kahawa,
right.
Ama chai. And then at the end, we'll see which one is really the queen of Kabi's heart. Is it chai or is it kahawa?
All right.
So this is really going to test all the ancestors, all the history in your bones. So we'll see. Okay, you ready?
I think there's no losing.
Yeah, there's
it's
no
okay,
losing.
It's
agreed.
Okay.
Indeed, there's no losing. We'll put these visuals here. But okay, you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Morning meeting. Kahawa, ama chai.
Kahawa.
Kahawa. Okay, I'm on for kahawa. We're starting strong. Relaxing on a Sunday afternoon. Up. All right. First date. Kahawa ama chai.
Kahawa. You gotta have the energy,
yes,
you never know what's gonna happen.
It's so true. Jet lag after you've just traveled either here to Nairobi or back to Sydney.
Oh.
Kahawa ama chai.
Chai. Then you need some comfort.
Aha, interesting.
Then you need a bit of comfort.
I like that. Okay. We're tied up. 2-2. Catching up with family.
Chai.
Chai. Chai is the language of connection,
yeah.
Huh? For that. Okay. Watching the sunrise.
Kahawa.
Kahawa, we're staying tied. It's like one for one each time. Okay, brainstorming your next big idea.
Kahawa.
Hawa takes it on.
I think that one.
I mean, chai is just there to say, it's like... okay, you tried. But kahawa is there to say, you can do it.
Seriously.
Okay. Rereading or reading your favorite book?
Chai.
Okay. Okay. Celebrating a big win?
Chai.
Okay, now chai is leading. I think it's like 5 or 6.
Come
to,
on.
Chai to coffee. Okay.
Yeah.
This is, I think, obvious. Late night deadline.
So that's actually a hard one. It's like, you know, which one will keep you forward?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we'll have to be kahawa. You know, okay. You got to stay.
Just for keep the sheer lights biology,
on. Keep
right?
The lights
keep
on,
the
right?
Lights on, exactly. Because there's something about chai with the sweetness and the spice that is just more like...
comforting.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
You through it.
But you may fall asleep.
Yeah,
so.
You may.
Okay, stuck in traffic on Waiaki Way.
Why should you be anxiety? Let's go with chai.
Chai there, for that yeah. One. Chai is leading. Okay. I don't know if this is accurate, this question, but just humor me. Because
okay.
I have been to Australia one time, but I did not see any kangaroos.
Okay.
But however, the question is, watching a kangaroo casually hop along in a Sydney backyard or something like that.
Chai.
How are chai? Chai for that.
We were trying to relax, you know?
Okay,
it's,
so you're like,
setting the scene.
Okay, I'll take
there's
it.
There's a place and purpose for everything.
All right. Another thing I've never experienced, but I'm asking you anyway, riding the ferry to Manly Beach in Sydney.
You know, I'm a Kenyan lady, so I have to say chai.
I'm not. Now you feel the need to carry
now
that banner.
Like, oh,
that
no.
Flag is coming for you.
I know.
Oh. Okay, so chai. But even though I have to say both of these are banners for Kenya, for sure. Okay,
yes.
I think chai is now solidly in the lead by 2, I think. Okay. Caught in a magpie swooping season in Sydney.
That's definitely, you need the kahawa. Then you need to run.
Well, explain for everybody, what is magpie swooping season anyways?
I don't know. Magpie is just a bird. It just comes and swoops and comes and sometimes bangs you in the head.
But there's a season for it.
I don't know if there's a season for it. I have been in a situation where it was antagonizing me, riding down the street and, you know, it was just hitting me in the head with the helmet, and I was so terrified.
Are you serious?
I was like, I need
to
run
that
away.
Low to the ground?
It's swooping and it's hitting you in the head. It's just knocking your helmet.
What kind of bird is this?
Seriously, I don't.
I have heard that Australia is full of all kinds of wildlife that would terrify us.
You know, that's what I think people say, but.
But we love Australia.
I've only had to chase a huntsman once, and I did catch it. That's a spider, which is definitely looks a lot more terrifying than it is.
Wow.
But
so this
then
is
again,
definitely
I don't
need
want
kahawa
to,
for these things.
Yeah, you need kahawa for these
any
things.
Any nature activities.
I did not grow up with these.
Yeah.
These,
No.
Yeah.
These sound like smaller wildlife, which actually might be scarier than the bigger wildlife that we're more used to. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like a giraffe, I'm not really scared of a giraffe. Yes, it could definitely do damage, but... it's there, I'm here.
And anyway, in any case, it's all about understanding because these things look terrifying. A lion looks terrifying. But,
okay,
you know,
true. You're being very diplomatic now, which
then
I appreciate. However,
spiders look terrifying, but apparently they eat. They help you out around the house.
No. The magpie,
yeah.
I was finished there. When you've told me that story, now I know Australia wins the wildlife competition. Okay, we're wrapping up here. Our last few ones. Matatu ride with booming music. Coffee or my chai?
Kahawa
for the that
one. Who's drinking chai there now?
True. Probably not drinking kahawa either, honest truth be told. Okay, and while being interviewed for a podcast, kahawa or my chai?
Kahawa. We have kahawa.
We gotta do kahawa.
Exactly.
That's on brand. We gotta do it. Okabe, we'll tabulate the tie. I think chai at the end there might have eked out a win, but I lost track after a while. But I think it's chai, is it, guys? Chai? Chai. I think chai won. Let's give it up for chai. But we want you all to keep Mount Kenya coffee in your
mind.
We can add
chai to the mix later.
We can. So, Kavi, tell us before we let you go, where can people find more information about what you're doing? Are you on Instagram? Are you on TikTok? Where can they find a little bit more about Mount Kenya coffee?
Yeah, I do have a website, but it's, I think the other platform is Instagram.
Instagram.
So we have our handle?
Your handle? Yes. Come on,
our
Gen
Instagram,
Z.
I know.
Whatever
I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial, okay.
I have the Instagram page, which is @MountKenyaCoffee_AU.
Okay. Great. So yeah, you've got the Kenya, you've got the Australia.
We'll be
there.
Trying to definitely post a lot more content, educational Great. Things, and maybe a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Some coffee, kawa ama chai.
Coffee-related stuff. Content, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, okay. It's been such a delight to talk to you. It's just such a beautiful thing to hear your story. You've moved sectors, you've moved countries, and you're building something new, and it's bright and it's beautiful, and I'm so glad we could talk about it here on Salam and Hello. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Kavi.
Absolutely, thank you for inviting me.
So glad you're here. And listeners, you know where to find us. I think hopefully you can find us on all of our socials. Send us a question if you've got a follow-up, if you're curious. Tell us who you'd vote for, kahawa ama chai. We want to know, where do you fall? But stay tuned. We've got new content coming out to you. And thank you for being on Salam and Hello. And until we meet again, be well and stay well.